May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 405. 'Twixt Jesus and the chosen race subsists a bond of sovereign grace, that hell with its infernal train shall ne'er dissolve nor rend in twain. Hymn 405.
Thank you. To read Psalm 12 and Isaiah chapter 38. Psalm 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbour. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Isaiah chapter 38. In those days, together with all those other tribulations that the Lord had laid upon Hezekiah, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which was good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness, I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes failed with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me, and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, do help us to look up to thee in living faith, to bow before thee in true reverence and godly fear. O Lord, leave us not to ourselves. to a prayer of word only. Oh, we do beseech thee, let not man prevail. Do thou prevail over us, O Lord, in mercy. O Lord, where sin abounds, may grace much more abound. Oh, do pour upon us the spirit of grace and of supplication. Oh, we pray for thy mercy. Be merciful unto us, O Lord, as thou used to do to those that love thy name. As some of us hope, thou hast been merciful to us before. But Lord, that won't do now. Oh, we pray for mercy now. Fresh mercy. Lord, with freshly contracted guilt, we're in today's need, this hour's need. Lord, oh, do grant, we pray, that the manna might fall from heaven, just as it did for the Israelites, day by day. Oh, do grant a crumb of mercy from heaven for our poor and ever-dying souls. Oh, Lord, and if we have never known it before, may we know it for the first time. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, that thou wouldst grant us that mercy of life imparted and maintained, the mercy of thy Spirit's teaching, convincing of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The mercy, Lord, of the felt forgiveness of sins through the precious blood of thy dear Son. The mercy of that clothing of us in that glorious righteousness thou hast wrought out, Lord Jesus, of thy finished work. O Lord, in that mercy, in every way thou knowest we need it now in our souls and in our life's pathway. Undeserved favour. Lord, deal not with us, we pray, according to our sins. In wrath, remember mercy. Lord, mercifully speak to us. Grant us thy blessed Spirit, Lord Jesus. Oh, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with our spirit. Oh, do make us humble, childlike, repentant. Do grant godly fear, living faith, a good hope, and love shed abroad in the heart, conquering the love of sin. Lord, we pray for that love that casts out fear. We pray, Lord, for the sending forth of thy light and thy truth that makes the way plain. Lord, we pray for direction in the way that we should go. We pray for strength to go in the way, in thy strength. Lord, oh, we read of those, and surely if we are among that favoured people, we must go the same way. Out of weakness we're made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women receive their dead raised to life again. O Lord, we pray we may know thee, Lord, and the power of thy resurrection, the fellowship of thy sufferings, to be made conformable to thy death. Lord, oh, leave us not ignorant Thou knowest, Lord, how ignorant some of us feel to be. Lord, we would not deny. Oh, keep us from denying what thou hast done for us. But Lord, we would not presume. Lord, thou knowest our frailty and our weakness. Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, do confirm thy own work, and Lord, detect and destroy everything else. We tremblingly plead, O Lord, leave us not to come to our end on a sandy foundation with a false hope, having mistaken the way. O Lord, we beseech thee, make us right and keep us right. Lord, and we plead for thy appearing in all our present matters. Thou knowest, Lord, that which lies upon each of us. The heart knoweth its own bitterness. The stranger intermeddleth not with his joy. Thou knowest those like Hannah who have come in bitterness of soul. Oh, enable them now to pour out their soul before the Lord, and grant them ere they go that wonderful word. O woman, go in peace, and the Lord grant thee that petition that thou hast asked of him. Lord, we pray that such then may go out, and their countenance be no more sad. O Lord, do look upon those who've come in sad. Make them glad. The sound of thy gospel, yea, Lord, come into their hearts and cheer their hearts. Lord, those that are sad because of their sins, Lord, bless them with a forgiveness, to give them that gladness that is above every other gladness, the gladness of a pardoned sinner. And those that are sad, Lord, because of their wretched waywardness, oh, make them glad by gathering them to thy feet, Lord, recovering them from all their wanderings, and putting them in their right mind and clothed and sat at thy feet. And those, Lord, that are sad because of the assaults of the enemy, rebuke him for them, we pray. And Lord, those that mourn for various reasons, Lord, who is there but thee that can give real comfort to mourners? Whatever the cause of that mourning be, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst comfort those that mourn. And cry unto Jerusalem that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Lord, we pray to be separated unto thyself. Lord, those that are sad and mourn because of the crowd the hymn writer spoke of, speaking of his heart devoted as it is to thee, a thievish swarm frequents the place. Lord, do, Lord Jesus, come and drive them out, and erect thy throne there. Had I a glance of thee, my God, creatures and men would vanish soon. Oh, we pray then for that glimpse of thee. Through the lattice of thy word, Lord, have mercy. Remember this people for good. We plead thy rich blessing upon them, individually and collectively as they meet together. Do let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory to their children. Oh Lord, do favour this people with a communion of the body and blood of Christ. For thou didst say, Lord, without that, thy people have no life. Oh Lord, may they, we be living people through that blessed communion. Lord, help us, we beg. Oh, open our eyes and make us wise, thy body, Lord Jesus, to discern by faith. Oh, we pray for a revealed Christ, an applied Christ. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst then let thy work appear here in the blessing of thy word, the calling of the dead, the continuance of the work thou hast begun in calling, the establishing, strengthening and settling of thy people, the warming, Lord, of our hearts, which are so often so lukewarm. Lord, oh, have mercy. Lord, there's so many things, but there's only one thing that's needful. Lord, deliver us from all those other things, and bless us with that one thing. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Oh Lord, we pray. Oh, do grant to Zion a gracious revival. Lord, we each need it. Lord, begin with me. We would tremblingly plead. Lord, oh, deliver us from the distance that our sins put between us and thee. The distance, Lord, that other things create. We read in thy word, and how it applies so often to thy people through the power of sin and other things. As I was busy here and there, he was gone. Lord, we pray, oh, come and save us from all our busyness, that we might be still and know that thou art God. Lord, that we might be brought as poor sinners to thy feet. Lord, save us from all that busyness of the religion of self that would look to this and do this. Lord, but it is thy work, it is thy doings. Lord, we pray for it. Oh, do then bring us off everything else, Lord, to thy feet, and grant, Lord, that we might be found there. No more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. Lord, that we might know that gospel liberty, the Son to make us free. Lord, that we might be filled with thy Spirit. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lord, do undertake then. Heal the afflicted according to thy will. Grant thy blessing in it as thou didst to Hezekiah. The blessing in the soul. Lord, we pray for the deacons of this church. Help them. And Lord, the men that speak in prayer. And Lord, the mothers in Israel. And Lord, those men that silently pray. And those women that labour with thy servants in the gospel. Lord, oh, we pray for Zion. Lord, do bless her. Lord, we pray, oh, do undertake, do have mercy. We thank thee for all thy goodness to us. Lord, we marvel So we see another harvest of corn being gathered in. In spite of all our desert, and Lord, thy wondrous producing of this, despite, Lord, the unfavourable conditions earlier in the year and in the autumn last year. Lord, we pray for thankfulness. And Lord, we ask, Lord, yet spare Britain. Lord, yet be merciful to us in deserved wrath. Yet overrule those in authority. But Lord, oh, we pray for a spiritual harvest. May there then be a spiritual sowing. Thou said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, make us such weeping sowers, who shall reap in joy. Lord, we pray for the young. We seek thy blessing on them, thy salvation, and thy guidance and provision in life's path. Be the guide of their youth. Grant them a tender fear. In all their ways, enable them to acknowledge thee, to find thee direct in their paths. Lord, help them in these difficult days. Lord, oh, how thou hast helped thy people. As they have been found in those great difficulties. Why? Because thou art their God, and there is nothing too difficult for thee. Lord, so may they and we prove thou art the same God. Lord, we pray now, forgive what we've asked amiss. Make up where we've so failed in asking. And oh, we plead, receive us in thy Son, in whose name we ask. Amen.
Hymn number 305. The souls that would to Jesus press must fix this firm and sure, that tribulation, more or less, they must and shall endure. Hymn 305.
Seeking the Lord's help and his blessing, I venture to direct you to Psalm 12, verse 5. Psalm 12, verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. For the oppression of the poor, the Lord describes here each one of his people. 'Tis he that makes them to feel that poverty. Indeed, if they do not realize it, if they lose sight of it, he will remind them of it. Thou sayest, I'm rich, he says in the book of the Revelation to the churches. Thou knowest not that thou art poor. And everything the Lord knows his people need to know, he will teach them. No one else can teach them. There's none that teacheth like him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the Lord Jesus said. That's what we need, isn't it? The blessing of poverty in spirit. Many of the Lord's people down through the generations have been poor financially. All of them have been poor spiritually. The oppression of the poor. The poor, they have this oppression. Oh, their poverty is an oppression. Spiritual poverty. When they feel not to have that spiritual life they would have, they need. What an oppression that is. When death seems to prevail in them. Spiritual death, unfeelingness, prayerlessness, lack of living fervent desires, lack of faith, lack of love, lack of every sign of life sometimes. Scarce can lift a thought on high or breathe one heart feeling prayer. But where this is an oppression, there we find the true child of God. They can't say they're poor and lie down in ease in that confession when they really feel their poverty. It is a real oppression to them. For the oppression of the poor. The oppression of sin, a burden, a weight, a power. Surely the word oppression speaks of a weight and a power. Connected with the expression, the word oppression is the oppressor. The Lord's poor people have many oppressors. The power of sin. It oppresses them in two ways. firstly, the hold it has over them. Dear John Warburton, I know he was speaking of the devil, but we might use the same type of expression concerning sin. And you see, the Lord's people won't be allowed to put all the blame upon the devil. He spoke of being devil-dragged and devil-driven, didn't he? And it is so with sin. When, and how do I have those in the congregation here this evening, and you're oppressed by sin? The more you strive against it, the more you stumble and fall. And when the Lord convinces you of it, when you feel the guilt of it, what an oppression it is then. The oppression of a living soul that knows something by the Spirit's teaching of the dreadful nature of sin. Through the application of the law that finds out the sin and declares the sentence against it. The soul that sinneth, it should die. Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. To the oppression. I mentioned just now, in referring to John Warburton's expression, the oppression of the devil. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom." You see, the Lord and his people are tempted as none others are. All men are tempted by the devil. But listen to that temptation the devil put to Christ. If thou be the Son of God. If. The hymn writer said, "Oh, what an impious if was that." No, he never puts that temptation to the unbeliever, does he? No, but to this poor child of God, if you're a child of God, do this. The enemy says the psalmist, "Where is now thy God, if thou art the Son of God?" The oppression. The one who really is a child of God, what an oppression it is when the devil greatly tempts them concerning their standing. The one who has a notional faith, who is the master of his own faith, he's not troubled, he's not oppressed in this way. He can believe like he would turn on the tap when he wants water. But a poor child of God cannot. He's oppressed for the oppression of the poor. And some of the Lord's people are beset with peculiar temptations. In many respects, it will be ill-advised for us to go into much detail in speaking of those things, lest we be found doing the work of Satan himself. Injection of those blasphemous thoughts. We have it in the Pilgrim's Progress, do we not? That pilgrim, as he was on that way, though he didn't he was greatly tried as to whether he was on the way to the celestial city. And he found such awful infidel thoughts in his heart and in his mind. But you see, it was an oppression to him. And the Lord showed him that it was as it was an oppression to him. There was this within him that recoiled from those things, that shuddered at those things inwardly. He showed to him that those thoughts weren't coming from himself. My dear friend, I believe in my little experience I've known something of this, and it really shakes you. Dreadful things that I wouldn't tell anyone of. For the oppression of the poor. There may be one here and you're oppressed by the devil with this temptation that you've committed the unpardonable sin. The Word of God speaks of that sin against the Holy Ghost. And the devil may be tempting you, you've committed that sin, and therefore there can never be pardon for you. But if you're oppressed concerning that temptation, if this temptation that is put to you is such a burden to you, if the sin which the devil is telling you is the unpardonable sin, if that sin is a grief to you, why, you haven't committed that sin. If you had, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be making that sin a grief to you. For the oppression of the poor. But then sometimes the Lord's people, they are oppressed by men. It may be from sinner or from saint he meets these blows. He's oppressed. How oppressed David was. So often in his life, Saul, and then from his own family, the sins of his sons, his own son Absalom rises up against him. Shimei comes out cursing him, casting stones at him. What an oppressed man. You see, David, who penned this psalm, he knew what he was speaking of. The oppression of the poor. It is an oppression. David felt it, didn't he? The poor man. And you see, I believe you will be made thankful by the Lord, if you're a child of God, for those men and women in the Word of God, those experience the Word of God records. It doesn't set forth the Lord's people of being always free from doubts, does it? It doesn't speak of the Lord's people always being full of faith. No. Under this oppression. You see, though I have thus far in speaking of this oppression, been speaking of one thing after another, how often in the Lord's people's experience they all come together. And so together with the oppression of this man, the oppression of sin rises up. When instead of committing Saul to the Lord, as David was enabled to do much of the time, he said, I shall one day perish at the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than to flee into the land of the Philistines. For the oppression of the poor. David began this psalm by saying, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail from among the children of men." Oh, what a bitter path David had to walk in this respect. He had known godly men. He had known their companionship in Christ. He had known their counsel. Think of Jonathan. What a godly man he was. He went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. We read that David's soul and Jonathan's soul, they were knit together, but death, with regard to the bodily presence, it separated them. The godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail from among the children of men. And this is an oppression to the poor. The hymn writer said, doesn't he, scorners rise up in their room. The low state of Zion. And you see, also when grace is at a low ebb in Zion, when a person personally feels the poverty of their own soul, when they feel the poverty of their own spirit, when they feel to be so poor in the things of God, their profession, they do not feel it to be worthy of the name of the Lord whom they profess. Their profession is so poor. They feel so small in grace. So little faith, so little love, so little true godly sorrow, so little communion with Christ, so little fruitfulness. And it's an oppression. The mercy when the Lord makes it so. The oppression is his work. And our soul must, as enabled, come to this, the oppression of the poor. When the Lord God Almighty is the oppressor. Oh, not in a hateful way, not at all. God never hates his people, but he chastises them. He afflicts them. The psalmist in one place, he said, "Thou set me before and behind and hast set thy hand upon me." When a poor sinner is oppressed by God, oppressed by the law of God, oppressed by the hand of the Lord, gone out against him, it seems. This one cannot just glibly say, whatever comes in his life, well, God is good. My dear friend, if you really know the goodness of God, that goodness of God will at times oppress you. The thorn in the flesh, which in his goodness he lays upon you, is an oppression, isn't it? The bitter things in your cup, in the Lord's hand there is a cup. The mixture is red. Oh, that bitterness in the cup, and what an oppression. That affliction in your body or in your circumstances. There may be one here this evening and you're in poverty in your circumstances. providence appears to be going out against you. It's an oppression. For the oppression of the poor. For the sighing of the needy. The sighing of the needy. They're not only poor then, they're needy. It's by the need, the poverty is manifest. Oh, they need delivering for this poverty. If this poverty continue, they must perish. If grace be not given, as the hymn writer said, and if no grace the Lord will give, I must lie down and die. This poverty is not that the poor sinner does not have what would be nice to have. This poor sinner does not have what is essential to have. And when it comes like that in the Lord's dealings with you, my dear friend, you're found inside this text. The sighing of the needy. Why? If the Lord in his law is making you feel oppressed, oh, how you need his mercy. You need the gospel. You need those good tidings from a far country. You need the full gospel. You need the true gospel. You need the whole gospel. The power of God unto salvation. When you're oppressed with that guilt, you need the forgiveness of it. When you're oppressed with that hard heart, you need the softening. When you're oppressed with that deliverer, with that oppressor, you need the deliverance. When you have not that to pay those debts, you need one to come and set you free. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. But then it says of these needy ones, they sigh for the sighing of the needy. Oh, are you made thankful that the word of God comes down, and it must do, to save sinners so very low? The sighing. Now this isn't the sighing of a natural man. God doesn't regard that. God won't arise at that. That sighing is merely the expression of the sorrow of the world, which worketh death. The sighing which he regards and which this text speaks of is the sighing of the soul. It is that godly sorrow. It is that expression of that sorrow. It is that longing of that soul for deliverance, for the sighing. But What does this expression, sighing, bring before us? It brings before us that which is the response to something else. Men don't sigh naturally till there is that trouble comes upon them, bad news comes to them, or whatever it be, and it causes them to express this grief. So this sighing of the needy It is the Lord, the Spirit's gracious intercession in that person, putting up in a sigh a desire unto Almighty God for deliverance. Remember what he said by Moses, or to Moses, concerning the Israelites, Moses' brethren in Egypt. He said that he had heard the expression of their grief under those oppressors. It hadn't gone unnoticed. Why not? Because they were his people, and because he attends unto the very least movement of their soul, the least grief of their soul, the least expression unto him of a plea for deliverance. And he said, I've heard it, and I am come down to deliver them. The sighing of the needy. But when we think of a sigh, we think of a wordless expression. A sigh doesn't have any word in it. Of course, naturally, if we know someone near and dear to us, or if we go and visit someone and they are in affliction or in some other distress, and when we hear them sigh, we may have some idea as to what they mean by that sigh, what it is an expression of. You see, those unexpressed prayers, though no words, God understands them completely. We may misinterpret a natural sigh. God never misinterprets anything. He cannot. The sighing of the needy. But what is it that causes this one, this needy one, to express their desire in a sigh? Well, sometimes it pleases the Lord to withhold from them that utterance of their desire. But that doesn't mean there is no desire. Sometimes their grief and trouble is so great, their need is so great, they don't know what to say in prayer. They don't know what to pray. This is what Paul said, didn't he, writing to the Romans. Neither know we what to do. Neither know we what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit helpeth their infirmities with groanings, a similar expression to the sigh, which cannot be uttered. He understands the sigh divine and marks a secret groan for the sighing of the needy. But then there's this point concerning the sigh. Oh, as there is no word in it, that person is not praying a prayer just with their lip. When we think of a sigh, we think of something coming right from within the person. We discern that when we hear someone sigh, don't we? It seems to come right from the middle of them, right from the depths of them. That is how the Lord enables his people to call upon him, whether it is with words or with a sigh. Right from the bottom of their heart. Oh, my dear friend, that's where God puts the desires. That's where the burden is. That's the place where the Holy Ghost indicts the prayer and brings it forth unto Almighty God. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. Oh, the wonder of it. Such poor petitions, no more than a sigh, and God says, now will I arise. For the oppression of the poor. Let us try and notice that for a moment. For that oppression, now will I arise. There's hope then in this word. Oh, may the Lord, the Spirit, write it in our hearts so there may be real hope for us personally. In this, God doesn't say for the goodness of these people. He doesn't say because I regard these strong desires, because I regard this in them or that in them, for the oppression of the poor. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Now this sets forth the true character of God toward his own people. Full of love. Full of compassion. Full of pity. Full of righteous indignation against all their enemies. Move with compassion toward them. Their oppression moves him to their deliverance. Why, surely this was so, as God, the eternal God, looked upon his people in eternity past and saw them in his infinite mind, ruined in the fall that was yet to take place. He saw me ruined in the fall, says the hymn writer, but loved me, notwithstanding all. Now will I arise for the oppression of the poor. It speaks of a bond to this people. That bond you sung of in that first hymn this evening. You see, if there is that eternal bond between God and us, it will be made known. And it will be made known in this. Now will I arise. That one is mine, he says, of this one who is oppressed. That one is mine. I've loved them with an everlasting love. I've chosen them in my Son. I've quickened them by my Spirit. Redeem them by the finished work, the sufferings and the death of my dear Son. I've bound myself to save that one. Jesus said to his Father, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. Those that thou gavest me I have kept. None of them is lost but the son of perdition. Judas Iscariot, who was given to the Lord Jesus only in an outward sense as one of the disciples. None of them is lost, but that one, son of perdition. Now will I arise. Love moves him to this arising. Compassion moves him to this arising. Indignation against the adversary. Think of the parable of the Samaritan. The priest and the Levite passed that way, looked upon that man who'd fallen among thieves. But they went on. They couldn't help him. They didn't have the love to help him. They didn't have the power to help him. They didn't have the means to relieve him. Ezekiel. When the Lord speaks of that babe cast out into the open field to the polluted in their own blood. But when I passed by thee, thy time was the time of love. I spread my skirt over thee. There became his mind. I said unto thee, live. Now will I arise. Secondly, God can arise. for these people's defence. God can arise for these people's deliverance. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. Now will I arise. Almighty. Oh, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed. In the book of the Revelation, we read John, he wept much, because none was found worthy to loose the book and the seals thereof. But the Lord said to him, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Now will I arise. Oh, when the Lord says arise, he doesn't mean a helpless arising. The disciples said concerning that man's son who they couldn't heal, why could not we heal him? Jesus said, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. The prayer and fasting of Emmanuel. In these the power of Emmanuel. Now will I arise. Those devils that were called upon by those false ministers to come out of those people. They said, Jesus we know, Paul we know. Of course, in that respect, they only knew Paul in the sense of the Spirit of Jesus was upon him. But he said to these that arose, as it were, to try and cast out these devils, who are you? Who are you? And you see, that's what the devil says when you and I try and arise and cast out the devils. Who are you? You cannot arise. Doesn't one of the hymns, I believe it's Berridge, he speaks of up he gets and tries what a human arm can do, but he proves. No arm can reach my desperate case, but his whose name is truth and grace. Now will I arise, the almighty arm. But this oppression, when the oppression is sin, when the oppression is the devil that we listen to in Adam, and the devil that we still listen to, the devil we're in league with, the sins that we have so willfully committed. Now will I arise, the merciful Lord says, now will I arise. Oh, my dear friend, if you ever hear this in your soul, the Lord God Almighty saying, now will I arise, saith the Lord. It's in his mercy, his pure mercy. Thou'st not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit for the sighing of the needy. And you see, the way the Lord leads his people into this truth of it being pure mercy is set forth here for the oppression of the poor. Oh, a desperate condition, a helpless condition. Poor, helpless sinner here this evening. That one that is helpless against sin, that one that is helpless against the devil, that one that is helpless against the perplexities in your life, helpless against yourself, helpless against the world. Your poor soul is oppressed under this. Now will I arise, not to consume. And you see, this sets forth the whole of the work of salvation. This text sets forth the people that God saves. Not those that can do anything for themselves. Not those that glide through life. You read that hymn again you sung just now. Tribulation they each must pass through. All the way through. Ah, oh, you're oppressed. I keep getting into trouble. You will do, sinner. You will do. Till the Lord takes you away from all that trouble. You come out of one. Bunyan says, doesn't he? The Christian man is never long at ease when one affliction's o'er, another doth him cease. But the Lord says, now will I rise. The Lord God hath laid help on one that is mighty. This arising, Jesus, God the Father sending his dear Son, now will I arise. Oh, the arising. A root shall spring out of Jesse, a stem. Oh, that arising of the blessed day spring. That arising of that blessed fruitful stem. In the prophecy of Zechariah, it's set forth in the type of those horns, all the things that come to oppress the church of God. But you notice, for every one of those horns that arises, that word, destroy the church of God, God sends forth those carpenters that shall destroy, that shall overcome everything that rises up against the child of God. God has in the person of his dear Son a deliverance. Why? That one that is oppressed by sin, he arises with the precious blood of his dear Son. Now will I arise. And he arises with the blessed person of his Holy Spirit to apply that blood to the heart and conscience. Ah, that one that is oppressed, now will I arise, saith the Lord. The Lord's now. Oh, that word of the Lord Jesus to deliver from the enemy. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, isn't this a brand plucked from the burning? Now will I rise. Now. Now look at the text regarding this now. For the oppression of the poor. Where that is felt. Where a sinner is oppressed. The Lord won't arise until he has done this. He won't arise until he has made you poor sinner feel utterly oppressed. When did the Lord arise for Hezekiah? When he cried, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And what an arising that was. The Lord that has said, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. He now sends the message by Isaiah. I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. I'll add unto thy days 15 years. He also told the dear man his sins were forgiven. Thou hast put all my sins behind thy back. Now will I arise. You see, it's the Lord arising. That word arise. Oh, remember the grave. Remember the sepulchre of Christ. It's an empty sepulchre. The Lord is not here. He is risen. The power of his resurrection. Now will I arise. How often in the Lord's people's experience. And what an oppression this is. When the Lord doesn't arise. Their cries, their sighs seem to get no answer. Now will I arise. When he comes forth. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I'll set him in safety. From him that puffeth at him. Or as the margin puts it, would ensnare him. God has a place of safety to put his people in. There's a place by me, he says, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock. What a place of safety that is. In Christ, the cleft rock. Rock of ages, said Top Lady, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. You say, how may I hide myself in him? Well, the Lord says here, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. When the desire of your soul goes up to the Lord, when all these dangers threaten you, and you're so oppressed with sin and Satan and everything else, Lord, hide me. Lord, put me in thy dear Son, that place of safety. Hide me beneath his precious blood. Shelter me there, Lord. Put me in that place of safety. Rescue me, Lord, from the adversary. Oh, what a place of safety it is. But it's a cleft rock. The safety is in the cleft rock. The safety is in him who was smitten by the sword of divine justice. Oh, my dear friend, you that are oppressed by guilt, there's only one place of safety for you. And that's him who was smitten with the sword of divine justice for all the sins of his people. The sword of divine justice can't smite for the same sins twice. Payment God cannot twice demand, first at the bleeding short his hand, and then again at mine, in safety. But the Lord says, I will set him. I will set him. This poor sinner, this needy sinner, they're poor, I can't get to Christ. I can't get into this safety. I can't get this sense of forgiveness. When the Lord makes that a real oppression to you, when he causes you to go about in your life feeling so exposed because you can't believe in Christ, when he makes your unbelief a dreadful oppression because he shows you that your unbelief is the damning sin above all other sins, it makes you sigh out, Lord, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I will but cannot, Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee. I will set him in safety. Set him up on high. Secure from all the adversaries, I will set him. The Holy Spirit, blessing a sinner to know that Christ died for them. The Holy Spirit, assuring that sinner that Christ is theirs. The Holy Spirit taking of the things of Jesus and showing them to that sinner. The Holy Spirit taking the word, the personal word, those vital words, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I have redeemed thee, thou art mine. Thou art all fair, my love. What a setting in safety. The Lord, the sinner hasn't clambered there. No, they're helpless. The Lord has stretched forth his mighty arm and picked them up. That was one set in safety, wasn't it? Listen to his testimony. He brought me up out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. The poor man was sinking. He was clinging to the clay. He couldn't get up out of that place. And the Lord brought him up. He brought me up. Put my feet upon a rock. And that rock is Christ Jesus. Oh, when the Lord comes and in this sense puts himself beneath that poor sinner, underneath of the everlasting arms, on this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Him that puffeth at him. I spoke earlier in speaking of some of the oppression, I spoke of the particular puffing of the adversary, the devil, when he breathes into a sinner such evil things, the puffing. Oh, my dear friend, if the Lord mercifully set you in safety, put you in Christ, favour you with a living faith in Christ to that measure wherein you're favoured to behold him by faith, the adversary can't reach you there with that puffing. Why not? The Holy Spirit, he has breathed upon you. Breathe on these bones so dry, so dead, thy sweetest, softest influence shed in all our hearts abroad. Set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. And this expression, from him that puffeth at him, it sets forth every sinful, dangerous, wicked, unprofitable influence. And what puffers there are. Paul writes in one of his epistles of those that are puffed up, their own pride. Now if the Lord causes us to feel and realise, and you see, he will if we're his, he'll make us to feel the oppression of pride. Because you see, there's no communion with Christ when pride is prevailing. And that's how the Lord makes his people grieve over their sins. But Joseph Hart says, doesn't he? And what a setting in safety if the Lord puts you where Joseph Hart spoke of. Thy garden is the place where pride cannot intrude. Should it dare to enter there, 'twould soon be drowned in blood. You're safe there, child of God, from him that puffeth at you. Oh, to be really favoured, to be led to Gethsemane and then on to Calvary. That would bring down the pride. That would cure us of the worldliness. That would cure us of the self-righteousness. It would cure us of everything. Because in Gethsemane and Calvary was the cure of all the woes of all the church of God, whatever they be. The sacrifice of Christ remains sufficient and alone. I will set him. I will set him. This speaks of the Lord exalting a person. It's set forth in type by Mordecai. Haman had intended to have him on the gallows. God had intended otherwise. Haman was the one that puffed at Mordecai and all the Jews. But Haman didn't know who he was taking on when he went against Mordecai and the Jews. He didn't know that God who he was taking on. Haman is on the gallows. Mordecai, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honour. And the king says he shall ride on my horse. He shall be paraded through the cities in my robes. Now that sets forth the exalting by the Lord of his people. But look at what goes before the exalting. He that humbleth himself, not that we humble ourselves. He that knows the grace of God that humbles him, and he is humbled himself. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Listen to Micah. I will bear the indignation of the Lord. I'll not say, oh, it's all right, God is very merciful. I'll not say, oh, I do this and that good. I'll not say, oh, I'll just believe on God. He said, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against him until he plead my cause. He shall bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his face in righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is now thy God? God always takes the weak side. My dear friend, the Lord calls us to examine ourselves. Where are we in this context? Are we the weak, the oppressed, or are we the oppressor? It is the oppressed that the Lord delivers. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. I think of those words of the Lord Jesus in the book of the Revelation. Him that overcometh. How does he overcome? Prayer, even in these sighs. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, he that overcometh. Will I grant to sit with me in my throne? Paul says he hath made us, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I will grant that he shall sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Barker will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Hadley on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 678. There's not a man that's born of God but readily will say, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Hymn 678.
Thank you.
Lord, may it indeed be so. Sort out, though the very worst. Do forgive all that's been wrong. Do bless thy own word. Do watch over and keep us now and be with us. Do favour us in meditation. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.